Acts chapter 5. Thank you for being in the Lord's house. I'd ask you to stand if you're able while we read from the Holy Writ. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. There's about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon all as many as heard these things. You may be seated. I will preach tonight on fatal attractions, on some things that lure folk to their spiritual death and sometimes their physical death. Now I want to get in where you are. I didn't come to entertain, but I want to preach to your soul tonight. Just between me and you and the Holy Ghost, I'd like to get down deep in your heart and search you out and try to get you to do something about it. We're living in an age of this world's allurement is stronger than it's ever been. I've never known a time when the church has been so destroyed, almost destroyed. Many local assemblies have been destroyed because of allurements of the world, caught them and destroyed them from their service to God Almighty. And that's the cause, that's the very cause why our churches are weak tonight. Because we love the things of the world more than the things of God. I am amazed and dismayed as a part of this is fostered in Baptist pulpits, that the so-called leadership of the church has enticed the church bodies and local assemblies to do things for entertainment rather than the preaching of the Word of God and seriousness about lost souls going to hell. I'm afraid we'll stand at God's judgment bar and give an account of deeds done in this body, because we sought allurements more than the Holy Ghost. And I'm not talking to somebody across the street tonight. I'm talking to you. I believe that everybody in this building has been somewhat affected by drawing things that are unscriptural, pulling and tugging at the hearts and lives of the people of God. The devil knows that if he can destroy what comes out of this pulpit, if he can bring the things of the world into your heart and pull you away from the seriousness of winning souls to Christ, he's won the battle. Our nation, as the churchdom tonight, is caught up in entertainment. And I'm sorry. There's hardly anything now that goes on in most Baptist churches but what would have been thrown out of the church 50 years ago. And so I want to go back to that time. I want to search out and see what the New Testament church had in their churches and what was preached to be done at the church and what is not to be tolerated. I have, in about every church I've pastored, gone back and got their minutes as far back as I could go. Some of them churches have been burnt and they lost a lot of it. But to get into their business meetings and find out what they did about business. And I feel like I stepped into another world. They threw up people out of church for playing cards. Isn't that amazing? Threw people out of church for dancing. Threw people out of church for not dressing properly. You see, we've been told now, little by little, that there's nothing wrong with that. It's all right if you cuss a little bit and drink a little bit, as long as you know it's not seen too much in public. And our children are so wrought up in electronics and drawn away from reality. Most all young people now believe in a make-believe world. There's a man named Adam in this Bible, the first man. I think now, probably the most intelligent man beside Jesus Christ that's ever lived on the face of the earth. No sin, no background, created by the hand of God. He and his wife together, no doubt, handsome, healthy, nothing wrong with him. Nothing could happen to him. Everything's just right. Don't ever think that you're so high in God business that there can't be something get a hold of you and weaken you in the work of God. I've known leaders, folks that stand behind this pulpit, that were so popular that after a while they got to thinking, I can do no wrong. Even I can do things that are talked about as sin in this Bible, and it'll be all right for me. May I tell you tonight, if it wasn't right then, it's not right now. And Adam lived in a perfect world. Never too hot, never too cold. No laws restraining Adam. He did what he wanted to. Nothing is a restriction to him. He lived in paradise here on this earth. But he married a wife, the weaker vessel. God's plan. God only said one thing. You can do anything in this garden you want to. The millions, no doubt, of trees and acres. But there's one tree in the midst of the garden that you must not eat thereof. In the day that you do, you'll die. And the scripture opens in the third chapter of Genesis. And where is Eve at? With all these millions of trees, she's standing under the very tree where God said, thou shalt not. And the devil talking to her, and she's believing it. Don't you think you're in the flesh? You can be lured away. You can be brought to weakness. You're not above the devil talking to you and drawing you away from the things of God. I know it's so. So what ought we to do? Seeing that we're living in the same world that Adam was. Got the same God that Adam had. We got the set of laws that God's given us, saying, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And yet our church is growing weaker all the time. You know what? There's fatal attractions in the church and outside that door. And I'll tell you tonight, I don't even just get on things, but I'm a preaching along that line, and so I'm going to do what God wants me to. There shouldn't be any allurements in your home to wicked things that will draw your attention away from God and God's commandments and to the things of Hollywood and hell. Amen. Amen. Now, everybody here tonight, you're in the flesh. I've been looking you over. And I don't believe there's any of you here above sin. Sometimes in my motel room, just half of my life spent in a motel room. I guess it was the week before last in Columbia, Tennessee. Stood before that mirror and just kind of looked sideways at what I saw there. And I said, you sorry thing, you. You're absolutely no account for anything. The only hope you got or ever have had is Jesus Christ. If you're not careful, you'll get to looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, ain't you something? But just a little allurements drawn you and me at times away from the perfect will of God. We've bit the devil's bait and been drawn into wickedness. Now listen to me. God wanted me to preach this to you tonight. So there's somebody here, some bodies that need to repent, or maybe just some little things that's pulled you away from old time religion and old time worship. Thank God tonight He wants you to hear this. He's a forgiving God if you'll ask for forgiveness. There's a man named Samson. Oh, what a boy. Miraculously born. A mama. Thank God for a mama. Samson's mama and daddy. God paying them a supernatural visit and declaring that they'd have a son. I'm afraid they doted on him. I'm afraid they spoiled him. It's just right in the edge of the scripture, almost in the small print, that they spoiled Samson. He got just about anything he wanted. I got a picture this afternoon. I was thinking about it. And Samson sitting on the couch, texting. Didn't have time. His mom and daddy didn't make him mow the yard. Are you hearing me? His hair's long. He's under a Nazarite vow. And don't you go telling this old preacher that's what's wrong with you or your boy. The Nazarite vows are all over with now. Besides that, it's just for a period of time. And he's become a couch potato. And he sees a woman that he wants, and his parents did not restrict him. He said, I want her, get her for me. We're living in I want now what's mine, whether it's mine or not, by the young people, and they're spoiled.
God help us to realize, don't you understand, mom and daddy, that that's an allurement for you. It's not only destroying them, but it's pulling you by your permission to let them commit sin. That you're no account at the house of God when you don't command your own house. I believe I'm right about this. I'm glad I had a Christian mom and daddy. Thank God for an old time daddy. He could read a little bit. I'd see him sit and try to read the Bible. His lips would work, you know, and he'd have to work with that work with every word. Struggle. But when he prayed, thank God for a praying daddy. And for a mama that whipped me when I did wrong. Did you know she'd whip me for bad words? She wouldn't say just uh-uh-uh. She let the switch sing the tune, and I knew what the tune was. Now listen to me tonight, mom and daddy. If you want your children to be righteous before them. Honor. Listen, young people, honor thy father and thy mother. I've seen so much going on. I've been a pastor now since 1967, been preaching since 1960. And I've seen so many homes go to the ditch and the devil because mom and daddy didn't have the intestinal fortitude to bring their children into obedience to them. Take them to the right kind of church. Now listen to me. I'm going to preach what God gives me tonight. I'm going to tell you, if my children were young again, I'd not let them spend the night hardly ever away from home. You don't ever know what that household's going to have or who they're going to bring in to influence your child. The little old, don't you know that the ugliest thing to that child that he can see or get a hold of is an allurement to him or her because of the nature of the flesh that they're going to look at it and seek it again? I'm glad I know that. Samson, what a warrior he was. What a tool in the hand of God. What a lesson for us today. But you know what? Because he is lured to that woman Delilah. And unrestrained when she is a foreigner. Are you listening to me? I believe boys and girls are to find other boys and girls around the house of God. Right. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? I didn't know I was going to get into all this, but I'm glad, thank God, I did. And he laid his head in the lap of Delilah. Told her the secrets of God. She didn't believe a thing about God Almighty. But she knew he is a strong man. And she is determined to have her people to help bring him down. And that's exactly what happened. Oh, what a hero he was. But the last scene of his life, he has a walk in a circle to a grinding mill like a mule. With his eyes out because of the allurements. Because of the things that brought about his death spiritually and physically. I hear him at that wheel, and after a while with his hands against the wall with a young man leading him around and saying, "One more time, Lord, one more time."
I don't want to die wrong. I want to die right. When they lay me down in front of the Union Chapel Baptist Church one of these days, some church, I don't want to say he's a has-been. Well, if there's any sin in me, I want it out today.
I've seen so much in ungodliness and walked by so many caskets, and in my own heart, I believe that wickedness took them to the grave. I've seen so many preachers go down and so many deacons go down because of fatal attractions that brought about their demise, because there's not strong enough, there's strong will enough to resist the temptation of the devil.
Right.
Are you hearing me now? There's a man named David. I think he's my favorite in the Bible. I'm talking about besides Christ. I like to read about David, but there's a chapter in there that tears my soul apart. A man after God's own heart. A man that fulfilled all of God's will, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. You know what got him? The allurement. Adultery. Oh, listen to this old wore out preacher tonight. It's invading our churches and our pulpits, the sin of adultery. And nobody wants to talk about it. We won't excuse it and find little old alleys where that we can get by, where it's not all that wrong and not all that bad. I don't know of a family. I'm talking about a family now, not just a household, but I don't know of a family that's not been affected by it. I say grandmas leading little babies around. Are you hearing me? Raising them because of adultery and sin and wickedness, fatal attractions. Because young men cared not to seek the wife that God warned them to have. Or young ladies seeking a man that would be a man. You say, preacher, you're awful rough. I think if the men of God had it preached along these lines enough down through the years and been strict enough, we wouldn't have the messes we've got now. I don't want to anger you and don't want to make you mad, but I'm going to preach no matter if you do get angry at me. Parents, you ought to teach your children about adultery and wickedness and fornication. You ought to. This is what I'm talking about. Them fatal attractions that tore our homes apart.
That's it.
David should have been in battle with his people, but he is out yonder looking what he saw on the rooftop. Got to hold his heart and his mind and his body. Just about absolutely destroyed him and his family. And he never got rid of what happened that very night in all of his life and all of his being. There's some things you can get mixed up in that God ain't going to try to straighten out. It can't be straightened out. There's some things you can do that can't be undone. And I'll tell you what, if I were in here tonight, and them situations, when the preacher preached, I'd holler, amen, I know it's so.
Right.
Old David playing the harp and singing his own songs in his old days. And thinking back and wishing some things had never been. Because the fatal attractions had took him down. And then there's these people that I read about here tonight in this early church. Everything's going great. The power of God, Jesus, has been crucified and lived on this earth. Been ascended back to the Father and sat down making intercession for us. And this church began to grow. The Apostle Peter and the apostles preaching to that crowd. They began to become communist, if you will. All the same thing. them that had sold and gave to them that had not until everybody had the same amount of money in the bank.
Right.
Didn't work then, won't work now, by the way.
Right.
But somebody said, you know, we're going to have to give something or they'll look down on us. But I tell you what, let's do. We're going to sell this place for $100,000. Nobody needs to know it. And we'll tell Limit Church that we got $50,000. And we'll just, you know, settle it in with them until everything's level. And then we'll be as big as anybody else in the church and still have $50,000. Nobody will know anything about it. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about cheating and lying.
Right.
Do you know it's sinful of you to cheat on your income tax? Don't look at this old preacher that way. I've done been through all of that. If you steal from the government, you steal from granny. And I just tell you the truth. You get to steal and you'll steal from God. I believe that's right. You know, it'd be good for all of us to get honest with God. Just right out of the deep of our hearts, once and for all, to clean up all the way and say, Lord, I've been allured by some things. That's got me farther away from God than what I need to be. Now, I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you how it is with Brother Hanley. If there's a little twisted thing somewhere, I can't preach. If there's a little something twisted in my life that I ought to stand for and stand against or stand for, and I don't have the courage to do that, I can feel it when I go to my prayer place or when I open my Bible. And I wonder where you are tonight. And all these little old enticements and allurements and fatal attractions. I'm talking about being honest with God. That's what this couple here did not do. They're not honest with God. But you see, the old man of God knew. And God sure knows. You can't preach with sin in your life. You can't pray right as long as there's sin in your life. Little old things that you think's hid from everybody else. God knows. Tell me, ma'am, are you clean before God? I'm not talking about perfection. You ought to strive for that. You say, preacher, can't be perfect. Nobody's perfect. That's right. But we got an obligation to try because our pattern was perfect. I wonder about you. It's between me and you and the Lord. About them fatal attractions that's got a hold of you, has been a hold of you. Pulling you away from an old-time Holy Ghost, spiritual, pure life before God. It'll get you. You'll think you can just do this little thing and nobody will know. But God knows. I wonder, down through the years, I've been watching a pastor, and you know, I'm a people studier. I see somebody that don't testify like they did, you know, and I know them well enough. I know something's going on. Sometimes I just listen to my people pray. I can feel a coldness in one of the brethren or sisters, and I know there's been an allurement that's pulled them away.
Right.
You can't sing right when you get them fatal attractions. Do you know what finally will happen to you if you are in some kind of growth? And you see, when you start, you just walk off of the track just a little bit and say nobody will ever know, but pretty soon you're over here, and pretty soon you're over here. After a while, you're in the ditch. Them fatal attractions that'll keep pulling on you like a magnet.
Right. Yeah.
Rot your soul, wreck your prayer life, ruin your testimony, because it started out just a little like leprosy. Just a little place one day, but after a while, it's death. How is it with you tonight, dear brother? I love you all with all my heart. This church here just got a hold of my heart a long time ago. Others here tonight is new to me, and I don't know you. But, oh, I'd like to see you walking the walk. Independent Baptist, you know, some of us claim to be independent Baptist. I'm not really in that realm. I just don't belong to anybody. And I'm going to tell you, there's a level with God that about 95% of Baptists today have never reached. Because of allurements that's robbed us of that deep life with God Almighty. And I'm talking to you. In a few minutes, I'm going to give an invitation. I want you to do business with God. Somebody in here tonight, somebody's, no telling how many, just little old things are pulling, nagging on you. And while I've been a-preaching, the Lord's been a-saying, that's what me and you's been a-talking about. That's why you're in the shape. Just little, I'm not talking about murder and open it. I'm talking about little old things that's pulled you. It may be your job. May be your brother, your sister, your wife, or your husband that you've let pull you away from God Almighty. Yeah. You took up with something a preacher's preaching that you knew wasn't right, but it's just so enticing to you that you couldn't help but go along with it. Hey!
Yeah.
We don't need extracurricular activities in the house of God. What they had back here in the New Testament church is still all right for today. We don't have to have ball games and hay rides and have circuses in the house of God. Are you hearing me? Santa Clauses and Christmas trees in the house of God. I'm talking about little old things. You say, well, the children love this. I'm talking about holy things. This is a holy place.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see old time revival, boy. We've had some times here. And if we want it, God will give it to us again. But the little old things, the allurements, the fatal attractions. Ma'am, is it all right with your heart tonight? Have you been so attracted by the dress codes of the world that you've got out of the will of God? Have you let down your standards, sir? Is your conversation pure enough that God can talk to you without some kind of old language in your mouth? Oh, I know this don't make me popular in this world. But I've got a God that called me to preach and told me to preach the book. And that's exactly what I want to do. Everybody stand, please. I told you about this man, this woman came to an early grave because unconfessed sin. I want us to sing, dear brother, if you will. You need to come to this. All I ask you to do is be honest tonight. If you're clean, there's no allurements pulling on you. And I'm going to tell you, say, preacher, if I go, everybody will think, no, no. There'll be people besides you that needs to come. You be obedient to God tonight and be honest about them little old attractions that's been pulling on you to get you away from God Almighty. While we sing together, what's your number, dear brother?